And Lord Jesus, may I now speak in your name so that your people hear you and you alone. Amen. Please be seated. It's wonderful that God is always speaking to people, to you, to me, to us. And it's no surprise that our readings today start with the prophet Isaiah speaking God's words to the people of Israel. At that time, they were being threatened with a hostile invasion. It looked as if Assyria might well come and yoke the people up as captives and take them far away from their homes, temple, country, to live in exile in the land of their conquerors. Isaiah showed the people of Israel that if they carried on turning away from God by treating the poor unfairly and spoiling themselves while others starved, then God would not save them from this attack. They were already yoked up as slaves to their greed, their own greed, their own selfishness, and also their fears and worries about the Assyrians. So through the prophet Isaiah, God spoke to his people. He told them that he loved them, that he longed for them to sort out their lives and trust him again. God would then be able to look after them and keep them and Jerusalem safe. It would be like their yokes being broken in pieces, so they would be completely free. And indeed, if you go back to Isaiah and read, the people were given hope. If you look at the history, first in the short term, Jerusalem was saved from the Assyrian threat. And then, as we can now see looking back, in the long term, Jesus amazingly fulfills the prophet's words as he preaches, teaches, and heals throughout Galilee and Israel. Jesus, the great light, came so that we could be set free from all these yokes. Yokes like selfishness, resentment, bitterness, illicit wants and desires, guilt, emotional damage that holds us back from living freely. Jesus is the most expert yoke breaker. And the liberation he proclaims is not tied to just one generation in Isaiah's time whose threatened oppression is averted. No, it's a liberation which also applies to every person sensing the liberating power of God's forgiving love, a love which can set you free to live life to the full. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Jesus, of course, is the light which can make all the darkness in our minds and lives and hearts disappear. If we let him in to walk around every area of our lives, he will set us free from all those yokes that hold us captive. And that's what I believe the scriptures are calling us to examine today. What are the yokes holding you and me back in our walk? Your calling and my calling as a Christian. What are the yokes holding us back? Martin Travers here, but as I shared at the 8 o'clock service here in church and down at Orpington Baptist last week, every single one of you here has been called by God and called to be here today. Your presence here is not an accident. You may have not have been here for a long time or never. But whether you've been a Christian for 62 years, thank you, Morris, that's wonderful, or whether you're here for the first time and know nothing about Jesus, God has called you to be here and has a calling on your life. In our gospel reading, we heard how Jesus called the first disciples. Follow me, he said to them. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Simon Peter and Andrew left their nets and followed him. So did James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, when he called them. Immediately, we're told, immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now I rejoice that most of you have already heeded that call to follow him. At some stage, maybe in your youth or in your adulthood, you've invited Jesus into your life, and his Holy Spirit is in you, trying to make you more and more like Jesus. But perhaps you're here today and you're not a Christian. What's stopping you? The fact that you're here this morning, maybe it's a sign that Jesus is calling you. You don't have to wait until you have all the answers to the questions milling in your head, till you have an answer to why there's injustice and poverty and oppression in the world. You don't have to wait until every rational objection to believing in Jesus and having faith in him is answered. All you have to ask yourself is, do I have this amount of faith to believe in him? As small as a mustard seed. Do I have this amount of faith? It doesn't expect you to know everything, to have complete faith right from day one. The issue is, are you then willing to say, Jesus, I'm sorry for trying to live my life without you. I invite you, Lord Jesus, to be Lord of my life. If you can say that prayer, Jesus will honor that sincere request and will make himself known to you. Jesus, I'm sorry for trying to live my life without you. I invite you to be Lord of my life. If you're ready to do that today, go ahead and do it. You can say it between you and God, right there in the pews. But can I ask you, if you've said that prayer, to go up for prayer ministry afterwards so you can be prayed for and given some advice. You'll need some guidance as to how to keep on growing in your faith, about prayer, about reading God's word, about sharing your Christian journey with other believers. So speak to me or to Mark Lavender, our curate, or Brian Rowley, or somebody you know is a mature Christian afterwards. And I'm sure they'll point you in the right direction. But whether you've been a Christian for 62 years or just a few minutes, progress on the Christian journey is not necessarily straightforward or easy. Go back and read Pilgrim's Progress. It'll show you all the pitfalls and issues involved. You, like Simon or Andrew or James or John, have been called by Jesus to follow him. So the issue is, what do disciples do? Well, they follow. They imitate their rabbi, their master. And so Jesus calls us to be like him. What did he do? The last verse of our gospel reading spells it out. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. That's what he did in that three and a half years of ministry. But he also involved his disciples in the same mission, sending them off, you may remember, in pairs, having equipped them with the Holy Spirit to do the things he did. Now, finally, in the Great Commission, at the end of several of the Gospels, he involves all of us as his subsequent followers. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age. You, me, are called. And our calling provides purpose and vision for our lives. To be like Jesus, to do the things he did, and to take the good news to others. Now, it might have been our only day of snow last week, but I heard of people having very difficult journeys. I was talking to somebody, he said it took a friend of theirs 2 hours to get from Court Road back to Coney Hall. Cars slithering, Orpington Hill, I don't know which route they were taking, but they obviously found it very difficult. Roads were blocked by snow or abandoned cars or even some accidents. I was due at a meeting in Chelsfield, a gathering in Chelsfield that evening at the rectory there, but with several inches of snow and ice, faced with that country lane down which the rectory is situated, and no four-wheel drive. I always knew it's a good idea to have a four-wheel drive for once a year. I thought that it might be a matter of getting to the pub just off the main road and then walking from there. But fortunately, our host, the area rural dean, cancelled because it wasn't surprising because people couldn't get from Biggin Hill or the Craze or Codderman Down. The snow day was a reminder that there are times when we can't get where we need to because roads are blocked or they're treacherous. It's just too dangerous, or they necessitate detours to avoid icy road surfaces. When in the same way, Christians can get stuck behind roadblocks or obstacles which stop our spiritual growth. And pondering what to say today, I happened to read an article by J. Lee Grady, a great writer, I love his articles, which perfectly addresses the issue of spiritual roadblocks in terms of our calling as individual Christians. What are the spiritual roadblocks keeping you from fulfilling the calling that God has placed on your life? As Christians, we are called to move forward in our faith. Our patron saint set the example for us when Paul wrote, "I press towards the goal, to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I press towards the goal. He doesn't stop in one place. You're not supposed to stay in the same place spiritually year after year after year. God wants you to grow, just as the disciples that Jesus called grew over the years they spent in his presence. And even after his death, his resurrection, his ascension, Peter and the others continue to grow in their spiritual maturity and depth. But often we get stuck as Christians. And he says, Lee Grady, that it's often because of one of six roadblocks. The first is perhaps the most obvious. Lack of spiritual hunger. Lack of spiritual hunger. Let's face it, the many reason many of us get stuck in a rut as Christians is that we're happy to be there. Happy with what we've come to church on a Sunday. We go back home, we get on with our lives, our plans. We get stuck in a rut. But God is looking for people who refuse to be content with where they were last year. He's calling you and me higher. You and I must ask the Holy Spirit to set our hearts ablaze with a desire for more of his presence, more of his power. I think sometimes people think the vicar's off to another conference, off here, there, everywhere. Why do I go? It's because I want more of him. I want to encounter his presence. I know there's always more. Many of you will remember when we had Simon Ponsonby here a few years ago. He's got a wonderful book, There's Always More. David is our example of spiritual hunger. He wrote these words, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants after you, O God." And when he wrote those words in Psalm 42, he actually felt lousy. So we can't use our discouragement as an excuse. David could have said, "I'm being chased by Saul. I'm living the life of a nomad, being chased from here, there, and everywhere." But David fanned the flames of spiritual fervor even when he felt like quitting. So the first spiritual roadblock is lack of spiritual hunger. The second is plain old laziness. We all know about New Year resolutions, don't we? We're going to lose weight. We're going to give up alcohol. We're going to give up this or that. We're going to pray this year. Methodically, we're going to study the Bible methodically. But nobody wins a 100-meter race by sprinting the first 50 meters and then sitting down. Winners need to stay in the game. And you and I must be determined to finish what we start instead of leaving a trail of aborted attempts. Paul exhorted the Romans in Romans 12:11 to be fervent in spirit, but first he warned them not to be lazy, or as King James puts it, slothful in business. And interestingly, the Greek word used there, okneros, is the same word Jesus used in the parable of the lazy servant who didn't invest the money he was given by his master. If you're sitting on your dreams or procrastinating when you should be growing your faith, the lazy label applies. Don't just start and then give up. Be consistent and keep going. So, lack of spiritual hunger, laziness. Third roadblock is excess baggage or unpacked baggage. You might remember that the Israelites left Egypt and could have marched into the promised land in a matter of weeks, but they ended up in a holding pattern for 40 years. If you've ever circled London in a plane waiting to land, you'll know what I mean. Half an hour goes, and you're still circling. I think the worst experience I've ever had. Round and round. Well, so it was with the Israelites. They left Egypt, and if you look at the distance, they could have walked into the promised land in a matter of weeks. But they ended up being in the desert. Why? They were dragging their sin with them. And the more weight you drag behind you, the less likely it is that you'll reach your destination. We can't afford as Christians to hold on to our sins. It may be that addiction to drink, to gambling, to pornography, to sexual sin, having an affair on the side, to lying, to cheating. Whatever it is that you know is not right with a holy God. You may think you can manage your sin, but it's more powerful than you are. You can't move forward while carrying a heavy burden, a load of shame and addictions on your back. Repent. Confess your weakness to someone else and get set free. And you know, sometimes we do that as Christians, but we may be also subject to spiritual yokes you're not even aware of, things weighing upon you, holding you back. If you're free during the weekdays, why not come this Thursday? It's in the pew notice to our Freedom in Christ course, which shows how you can take steps to freedom in every area of your life. We've had some wonderful testimonies in the past. People have physically felt things come off them as they've acknowledged and taken the steps to freedom. It's not too late to start. Thursday, 11 o'clock. The details are in the pew notice, I believe. Fourth potential roadblock we've covered: lack of spiritual hunger, laziness, excess baggage. But the fourth potential roadblock is fear of change. Fear of change. Many people feel a tug in their hearts that says, go to a home group, start that Bible study, or volunteer for this church role or that church position. Go on that mission trip. And we thank God for people like Karen who listened to that tug and did something about it and went up to Scotland and led others on a mission trip. Or maybe the Lord is even saying to you, write that book or launch that business. But you never get past step one because you feel frozen in your tracks with fear. Nothing will keep you in spiritual limbo like fear. It paralyzes. Fear of change. And some people keep their dreams inside them for decades, and then they take them to the grave. And when you get to heaven, Jesus says and shows you, this was a storeroom of all that I had for you, but you didn't avail yourself of it. If you want to grow, you must take risks. Don't let your fear of public speaking or airplanes or crowds or strangers or the criticism of others stop you from trusting in the God who's bigger than all these things. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out, drives out fear. Now, a fifth roadblock for some are shallow relationships. Who do you actually hang around with in your Christian life? Abraham had to part ways with Lot because they had very different goals. Lot had a selfish motive, and Abraham was fully surrendered to God's plan. If you spend all your time with selfish people who are content to live spiritually fruitless lives, the reckoning is you will end up just like them. If you want to move forward spiritually in 2017, don't expect the crowd to go with you. Some people don't want God's presence. Don't let them drag you down. Be willing to find new Christians, new fellow worshippers who will support your spiritual commitment to grow in faith, to grow to be more like Jesus. So we've covered five roadblocks: lack of spiritual hunger, plain old laziness, excess baggage, unpacked baggage, fear of change, shallow relationships. But finally and sixthly, a recurring roadblock can be a religious spirit. Religious people build memorials to honor what God did in 1895 or 1937 or 1955. Or when I was a lad. They sing hymns and songs from that era and talk about the way we've always done it. Yet when the Holy Spirit calls them, as in Psalm 96, to sing a new song, or if he starts doing a new thing, Isaiah 43, they get offended. I think it was Karen had a word about God doing a new thing. Don't get offended if it's not like what you've been used to. People with a religious spirit insist God must move in exactly the same way he did 50 or 75 years or 150 years ago. But actually, God doesn't stay in the same place or do things the same way. Now, it's true. His character is unchangeable. Holiness, love, goodness, mercy, justice. His character is unchangeable, but he always has a fresh word and a new anointing to pour on his people. He loves to surprise and overwhelm us. So don't let religious inflexibility keep you from experiencing the adventure of following his spirit. Six roadblocks then. Or rather, six potential mini-yokes. I call them mini-yokes because they're not the true yokes that once kept you in darkness before the light of Christ rescued you. Yet they're still very real barriers to spiritual growth. And, more importantly, they can be the catalyst for some of the divisions in church that Paul warns us about in our reading from 1 Corinthians. You see, people were saying, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas, because I prefer what they teach, or this aspect of their teaching. I like the way they do things. Churches often split or are divided when some fail to follow what the Spirit is doing because of fear of change or because of that religious spirit which says God can only do things in this way. Indeed, divisions in church arise because we fail to keep our eyes on one person, and that one person alone, Jesus. No church is perfect. But as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, open to what he's doing in our midst, seeing signs of life, his life moving among us, then we will be true to his vision and purpose for our life. Our calling is to follow him, to be like him, to do the things he did and commanded us to do. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Allow his light to break off everything that would deny you your perfect freedom in Christ to run the good race. Shall we pray? Father, if we're honest, all of us at one time or the other have allowed these obstacles, these impediments to spiritual growth to sprout in our lives. Maybe it's been our busyness. We've just not had time. And we've settled for what we've got. But maybe we've been carrying excess baggage. Or maybe we've surrounded ourselves with shallow relationships which don't allow us to move forward, where there's no hunger for you in our group of friends in church or our Christian relationships. Father, we just want to say clean, take away all these roadblocks that would impede us from going deeper with you. Take away everything that blocks us off from you. And Father, this new year, anoint us afresh with your presence so that we might truly keep our eyes fixed on you and long for what you want to do in our lives and in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.